2 Corinthians 8, 9, you know. Tell your neighbor this is talking about us. We know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. People sing amazing grace. Amen. But then they criticize what he gets ready to say right here. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, grace is much bigger than just your ticket to heaven. Much bigger than just the remission of the sins of your past. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sake, he didn't do this just for the Jews' sake, but he's writing this to Gentiles. He said, for your sake, though he was rich, yet for your sake, he became poor. If he did that just so he could say, I suffer like you suffered, then it wouldn't be for our sake. He did it as a substitute. He did it this is substitutionary language. He did it for our sake. Notice what it says, for your sake he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. So he did it to redeem us from the condition we were in, to bring us into a condition we could not attain. Because of the curse. The curse is what we were under. And Galatians 3 says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Redeemed us from sin, of course. But there's more than just redemption from sin. There's redemption from the curse of the law in the New Testament. Hallelujah. The Bible says here this is an issue of grace. So you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. People think, well, that's just talking about spiritually or something. Well, go to the whole context. Go to chapter 8, verse 1, and read all the way down through. And when you get to that verse, ask yourself, can I in good conscience say that's talking spiritually? Because the whole context is finances.
Yeah, come on.
That's the whole context. Amen. Besides that, he didn't become poor. A man casts out demons and raises the dead is not poor spiritually. Notice the language, it's substitutionary. He took what we were so that we could have something that he was. Though he was rich, for our sake he became poor. He became what we were, that we through his poverty might be rich. In other words, might be what he was. So it's substitutionary. He became what we were so we could become, he became what we were so we could become what he was. Where did redemptive substitution take place? People think this is talking about, you know, he had nowhere to lay his head and you know, he didn't have, he didn't have money to feed the 5,000 and, you know, he didn't have so many things. He was born into a poor family. Yeah, but whenever he showed up, money showed up.
Yeah, that's it. Amen.
Gold, frankincense, and myrrh showed up to finance a 2-year trip over into Egypt. People think he became poor whenever he walked the earth. But substitution didn't take place when he walked the earth. Substitution took place on the cross. And that's where he became poor. This is the same language, he became poor that we might be rich. It's the same language that he became sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus knew no sin. That we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. Same language. He became what we were so we could become what he was. Same thing with healing. The Bible said in Isaiah, God made him sick. And that by his stripes we would be healed. It's redemptive language, isn't it? And redemption takes place through substitution. He identified with us and took on our condition and took our place in that condition, shed his blood and became what we were in order to redeem us from what we were and become what he was.
Amen.
That's the core of the gospel. Amen. Say out loud, that's the core of the gospel. And this rose up in my heart just, I mean, big time yesterday. This wasn't even on my radar, but God wants us to talk about this some.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to do it. Jesus here, this is grace here that did this. We talk about amazing grace. Let's talk about it in all areas the Bible talks about it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so it's not something, if it's by grace, it's not something you earn. It's not something that happens because you make a good business deal or you get a raise or something happens and Aunt Mildred dies and somebody dies and leaves you some big inheritance. Oh, I became rich. This didn't happen. You becoming rich did not happen because of some financial condition. It happened because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Can you see that? And so it's not something you earn. It's not something you attain to. It's something that you were born into when you were born again. Hallelujah. That's what this is talking about. Isn't that right? You're born into God's family, and everything that's connected to that family, you were born into it. In other words, it's now yours. It belongs to you. Amen. 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 What your parents are going to leave you doesn't belong to me because I wasn't born into your family. Right? You were born into your family, so that belongs to you. Same thing when we were born into the family of God. Hallelujah. Now we have the legal right, the scriptural right, the Bible right to say we are rich. We have a full supply. Now this verse is saying the same thing Jesus said in Luke 4. It says Jesus stood up in Luke 4 and verse 18 and said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me." And the very first thing he said was to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Very first thing he said. This is usually the last thing people get to when they preach the gospel. Jesus went ahead and shoved it up front. It's almost like he was thinking, 3 John 2, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health." This is a big deal to God. People, in the name of trying to stay, give the appearance of not being covetous, they try to say it's not important. We'll push it off to the side. We won't talk about it. Preachers and pastors don't talk about it. But God went ahead and shoved it up at the top of the list. Well, isn't the new birth the most important? Yeah, that's how you got into all this. Above all things. Hallelujah. That means God sees how important it is that you prosper and be in health in order for his work to be carried out down here. People put it down low on the list as if it's not important. God went ahead and shoved it to the top. So why don't we at the beginning of 2019 shove it to the top? And not apologize. Every revival has a funding. But you and I need to enter into it in faith. Amen. God doesn't, what God does is opposed by the enemy. And you'll have more come against you in this area than any other area. I know, I've pastored for a long time. I know. Amen. Brother Hagin said the greatest faith struggle, or trouble, the way he said it, you'll ever have is in the financial arena, because the system, the financial system, is under the enemy's kingdom, and we're not. So Satan likes to keep these things controlled in our economy. We've got to learn to bring it into the out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God by our faith. I said, we've got to learn to do this. It's got to be something that we exercise faith strong for, not apologize for, not let the devil back us out of it, this, and say, well, oh, you're just becoming money-minded. Everything we preach this morning is not going to be about money. It's going to be about the Word. That's all we're going to preach. We need to become Word-minded. Amen. Tell your neighbor, Word-minded. People that have a poverty spirit, they're money-minded whenever we preach on these things. People of faith, they're word-minded whenever we preach on these things. I'm word-minded. And that's got to be front and center, word first, and with everything when it comes to finances, or else you'll get off. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. So Jesus said this, basically, he came to preach the gospel to the poor. Good news. There's good news for you financially. Amen. The gospel is the good news of supply that he has prepared for us from the foundation of the world. We're going to look today at verse after, well, we might not turn to them all, but a story after story, some verses we'll turn to them, look at them, where it's obvious from the Bible that God always has a supply for all his children way before they ever encounter a need. And that's the message. That's the good news to the poor. You have a supply. It may not be in your bank account, but you have a supply. And you can get it in your bank account if you need it. Amen. So it's the good news of supply that he's prepared for all of us from the foundation of the world. It's how this, the gospel is how God makes known the largeness of everything, that all his provision that he's already laid up for us. Amen. We've got to get this. This era is full. This is the era of fullness in every area. Fullness of revelation, fullness of the gifts of the Spirit, fullness of fivefold ministry offices, fullness. It's the era of fullness. Also fullness of the flow of supply. That's what we're in. It's time for everything to be demonstrated like it is in the Bible. And it's going to take people of faith. Amen. Luke 4 is telling us the gospel is the cure for poverty. The gospel is the cure for poverty. Many people think money or more money is the cure for lack, but they think they need more money. But 3 John 2 didn't seem to think that either. Beloved, I wish above all things you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. Amen. That's basically saying as your soul prospers, you'll prosper and be in health. As your soul prospers means as your mind is renewed. Yes. To what? Yes. The gospel. Yes. Amen. Not part of the gospel. Yes. The gospel. Yes. The whole gospel. Yes. Go to Hebrews. Let's look a little bit at the gospel. Go to Hebrews. Go to Hebrews. Praise the Lord. The Bible tells us something very interesting in Hebrews here. Let's see if I can find it. It just came up in my spirit. I'll find it in my Bible quicker, and I'll find it in my notes. Galatians, I believe. That's where it is. That's why. That's why. Not in Hebrews. It's in Galatians. Hallelujah. Thank you for my helper. Galatians 3 tells us that, verse 7, they which are of faith are this. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached ahead of time, that before means ahead of time, the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. The gospel to Abraham, that God preached to Abraham, was the message of the blessing. Yes. Amen. Through righteousness, yes. But if we would, if modern day Christians were writing this, they would say, preached ahead of time the gospel under Abraham, saying, in thee shall all men be saved. In thee shall all men have remission of sin. We know that's part of the gospel. That's the doorway into all of this. But the gospel is the message of the blessing. If you look up the word blessing, it means empowered to succeed or to move ahead. The power to prosper, literally. Deuteronomy 8:18 mentions it. It's he that gives the power to get wealth. We haven't preached on this for a while. It's time to start stirring up ourselves a little bit about it. Power. Power. What kind of power is that? It's he that gives it, so it must be his power. This is not brain power. This is not back, you know, the strength of your back. This is not something, intellectual power. This is God's, but this is Holy Ghost power. Power to get wealth. That's what's on you now. That's the gospel that you must believe and receive. The power's on me to get well. The power, Jesus has made me rich, and I have the power. I have the power to walk that out. Hallelujah. And that's why 3 John 2 says we must renew our mind, and that's whenever we'll prosper. That's whenever these things start showing up in our lives, is by the renewing of our mind. Did you catch what I said there? He said it's according to your soul prospering. Your soul's your mind, will, and your emotions. So the gospel is the good news of the blessing, the power to get wealth. Proverbs 10:22 says this. I found this way back in my teenage years. Proverbs 10:22. He said the blessing, we just read about that, Galatians. Y'all still following me? The blessing of the Lord, not the blessing of grandma or grandpa or mom and dad whenever they give me an inheritance. That's such a blessing. Well, no, that's just God, really, is what it is. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. Rich. Okay, some of you didn't like me saying the word rich. Rich, 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 rich. I'm going to get that out of here this morning. The blessing of the Lord makes rich. That's a Bible word. That's a Bible word. I like the Bible. I read the Bible. I agree with the Bible. I believe it from Genesis to Maps, Pastor. I believe it all. Okay, that's in there, rich. The blessing of the Lord, which God gave to you through Abraham, and you got into in Christ through faith in Christ, the blessing of the Lord makes you rich. Rich, rich, rich. And he adds no sorrow with it. Praise the Lord. So if you're falling behind financially, increase the intake of the gospel. That's the cure. Not a third job that keeps you out of the Word, out of meditating in the Word, out of church where you get the Word. That's not the cure for poverty. You can see that. People win millions in the lottery. They sometimes, not always, but sometimes they lose it all. That wasn't the cure for their poverty. So the gospel, take the gospel in greater measures, and it'll be the cure. This is called prospering through the power of God to get wealth, and your faith to reach into that power and activate it. Amen. We're talking about divine prosperity. That's supplied from the spirit realm by the power of God. It's not something in the natural realm. But see, faith is the bridge between the spirit realm and the natural realm. You remember what Jesus said to Brother Hagin whenever he was struggling financially, first went out on the road, and he was praying, asking God for some understanding. And remember God told him about, because he kept saying, asking God to send some finances and so forth. And God spoke to him and said, stop praying to me about finances. And he said, well, okay, what do I do? He said, you're asking me to send something as if I'm going to send it out of heaven. He said, I'm not a counterfeiter. I don't have any $100. I don't have any American money up here. Or any other kind of money. I mean, just a little statement sometimes God makes you stop and think, like, yeah, you know, that's right. We got to think about what we're asking him to do, remember? What you need, the Lord said to him, is already down there on the earth. I'm not going to rain money out of heaven. Then he told him to claim what he needed. Then he told him to bind the devil who seeks to hinder what he needed coming to him. And then he told him to loose the angels and go cause the money to come. Amen. What is that? What's he operating in there? He's working. In other words, Jesus is teaching Brother Hagin to work with what I already gave you through the gospel. Think about it. Authority over the devil, that came to him through the gospel. The ministry of angels, that's the part of our benefit package that came to us through the gospel. Claiming what you need, that's the authority of the believer, which came through the gospel. So God was giving him prosperity through the gospel in the spirit realm. Amen. And bringing the power in that realm to bear on this realm to cause it to come. Can you see that? See, God made a way for there to be an exchange between what's the resources of the spirit realm, which is not money. There's an exchange between what's available to us in that realm. There can be an exchange, and that can come to bear on this realm and cause this realm to work for us financially. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. His riches in glory is not money. His riches in glory is everything grace has brought you and I into. Hallelujah. How about the authority of the believer? How about the name of Jesus? How about the blessing of the Lord that makes rich and adds no sorrow? How about the power to get wealth? Isn't that right? How about the favor of God? How about the measure of faith? All these things. None of those have anything to do with money. But those are the riches he has provided you in his realm. And if you'll operate in all of those, it'll cause the money in this realm to come.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
This is clear. This is clear. Huh? You got to turn your mind off. People get in their mind and they say, I can't see how it would ever happen. This is how it will happen. Yeah, but that's so, you know, intangible. I need something tangible. See, it's a faith issue with you. Those things are not real to you. If you'll start operating in them, you'll see it work for you, and it'll become very, very real that what I'm preaching is really the answer to financial prosperity. It's really the answer to financial prosperity. Amen. Hallelujah. How about the leading of the Spirit? The witness of the Spirit within our spirit. That came to us through the new birth, through the Holy Spirit. We got that through the gospel because the gospel was preached. We received the gospel, and the Holy Spirit came into us to guide us into all truth, and he'll guide you right into all the supply he has already laid up for you and laid up for me. When you come up to a need, when you believe this, we're going to look at some things this morning. When you believe the gospel that he's already supplied every need and that you are already rich, whether you can see it in your bank account or not, then when you come up to a need, there'll be no worry, no anxiety, no fretting, no, you know, sleepless nights. You'll just say, well, I have a supply. I can call it, and it'll show up here somewhere. It's already, he saw ahead and saw this need. You have a supply. You have a supply. You have a supply. Not one of his children were a surprise to him. He planned out every day. He saw every need, and he already laid up every need you will ever have for your entire, not just in this life, for eternity. Jesus is such a preparer ahead of time that he went into eternity and is already preparing a place for you when you die and go to eternity.
Amen.
He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He's thinking about everything that concerns you. That's what you've got to believe. That's what you've got to believe. Yeah, but somebody did me wrong. He saw that need before you knew you had it. He saw they were going to do that, and he already made a supply for it. People cannot rob our supply from us. They can cause it to kick in because now I put a demand in faith. Thank you for helping me tap into my supply. Well, they didn't do what they were supposed to do. Your supply is not in what they do. It's your supply is in what you do. Amen. So when you're led of the Spirit, he'll lead you right into supply. Now, you realize that you're only assured of the supply if the Spirit of God led you to take that step. How many of you know we are led by peace, the peace of God? The Bible talks about Colossians, remember? Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. When we have peace about making a decision and we're led to make that decision, then really what that is we're assured that God will supply that need that creates sometimes. That creates a need sometimes. I'm amazed at how this works. I'm amazed. I'm so blessed When I follow the Spirit, like lately we just follow the Spirit on our driveway, putting in our driveway.
Amen.
It costs a lot a bit more money because we moved it. But I knew in my, because the Lord had already said to me, whatever's in your heart, you have a supply for it.
Amen.
I'm not talking about just the lust of the flesh, but what I have in my heart.
Yeah.
And so this was in my heart to move it, and it really kind of tripled the price of the driveway. And so I started getting some. We didn't have the money in the bank. In fact, we kept giving it away. That money. I'm talking about that money. We kept giving it away. But I kept getting a prompting, get some contract, get some bids and so forth. So I'm working with them, getting them out there. Some of them didn't show up. Some of them gave us bids. Some of them said, I need this first and all of that. And I can't give you the bid till that's done. I kept having in my heart, no, I don't need to do that. I don't need to do that. This is the way. And so I found a guy. And he said, I'll give you a bid. And so he gave us the bid, and he said, this was like the week before Christmas, I believe. He said, when do you want to do it? I said, well, you know, the frost in the ground, we'll do it in the spring. I didn't think he could do it right away. He said, well, we could do it this next week. I said, you can? With frost? What are you going to do with the frost? You know, I'm just thinking he couldn't because of the frost. He said, no, we'll just stack that to the side. It's only 4 inches or so, maybe 5 inches. We'll stack that to the side. It'll thaw out in the spring. You can spread that back out. But the dirt down under there is all thawed out.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's where you really, I said, go.
Yeah, that's right.
Go.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And people from other states started sending us money. And they would put in the card, this is for your house. Came time to pay the bill. Here you go. Led into a need because God knew I was in faith and had a supply.
Yeah.
He knew I was ready in faith for that kind of supply.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I just tell you a little secret. Some people think, well, I don't know where he's getting all the money. This money comes to us from all over the United States. Oh, I thought you were stealing all the church fund. Well, you thought wrong. I'm helping somebody in here this morning. All over the United States. Just friends just said, I had it in my heart. The Lord prompted me to do it. I'm like, praise the Lord. People I haven't talked to. This one couple said, I haven't talked to them for a year. In fact, I talked to them every so often for about a year, but I hadn't talked to them for a year. Before that, I barely knew them. God put it on our heart. And he said, well, I think that offering was $500. I have a supply.
Yes,
I wish I could get that to work for me, Pastor. It won't work by wishing.
Right.
Works by believing it. Hallelujah. So if you're assured that you're led of the Spirit to do something and you have peace in your heart, amen. That's the umpire, you know, that settles all questions about something. When you have that, then you can go ahead and the supply will show up.
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many of you, I tell the story all the time about the time we needed $16,000 extra dollars to finish this building and put down the carpet. Well, we changed the carpet since, but was it this carpet? No, maybe it was this carpet. We needed this carpet. We needed $16,000, and we just had no heart to go.
Amen.
We didn't have the money in the bank. And somebody that was healed, actually, no, they weren't healed. God ministered to them through a word of knowledge like 5 years before in another church, before we came here to pastor in a church down close to south of Iowa City. We ministered to them about some things that were going to happen. I saw in the spirit there was a insurance settlement that was due to them, but it wasn't coming. And I called it out and called them forward and spoke to them by the spirit and said, that's going to turn around. You're going to get that insurance settlement. I didn't know them from Adam. I didn't know. It was by revelation of the spirit. And that one individual, about a month before we needed the $16,000, showed up in our services, started coming for a little bit. They just came for a little while. Heard we needed carpet, said, here's the money, $16,000, and left. We haven't seen them since.
Amen.
5 years before God knew, before I even knew I needed carpet, before I even knew I was going to pastor. God was working on a situation. There was no way in my mind I could have had an ulterior motive. I didn't know I needed it. I didn't. God is good. And he's that good for you, too. You got a need? Look around. There's a supply. Hallelujah. Praise God. We see this all through the Bible. Where God, how many of you remember God led Israel right up to the edge of the Red Sea? And if you look at the place, there was mountains on both sides. Actually, the Bible talks about mountains on both sides. They were at the Red Sea in front of them. And then the Egyptians came in behind them to trap them in. Because remember, they had just came out of Egypt's bondage. And all the babies had, firstborn babies had died. And Pharaoh let them go. And then he got mad and said, no way. I'm going after him. He was going to get them back. And Israel, there's a whole lot to this, more than I have time to get into, but Israel said, what'd you do, bring us out here to die in the wilderness? They didn't see. They thought God was setting them up to be defeated. They didn't see that God was setting up the devil to do away with him forever. Egypt drowned in that Red Sea. And God said, look at the Egyptians well. God told him in one verse, look at them well, because this is the last day you're going to see them. He was setting the devil up to fall and put him in the bottom of the Red Sea. Hallelujah. Never to rise again. That's exactly right. Bible said the next morning they saw their dead bodies floating in the water. Well, so they complained, and Moses said, well, what am I going to do, God? And he said, stretch out your rod. And the wind blew all night and blew the Red Sea apart. And it revealed a natural land bridge. They have now discovered where it is. There's the only place to cross there that they could have gone. Because that river, between those mountains, a river had flown. An ancient river had flown for, I guess, centuries or whatever. It had been dried up when they got there. But it's flown down and pushed that silt out into that deep. It was a deep, the Red Sea is a very deep sea. But there it had pushed that silt out there, and it had kind of formed a natural land bridge. Yeah. They didn't see that. They didn't know that. They didn't have sonar back then. Let's find a place. Beep, beep, beep. They didn't have all that. They didn't have scuba diving equipment. Submarines. Nothing. They didn't have the U.S. Navy to go down there and look. But God knew it was there. For centuries, he had been making a supply for his people. Because he knew they were going to need it when they got there. Ha, ha. That's my God. That's your God. Hallelujah. There's no way out, but there was a way out. But they just had to follow the Spirit. And they were led into what looked like something that was impossible, but actually they were being led right into their supply. Amen. These are keys. I'm talking to you about keys about how to walk into your supply. Amen. God's all through the Bible, God has shown us that he always makes the supply before the need shows up. Amen. Think about this pattern. Listen, I'm going to show you, we're going to go through these verses, but let me say this. This is one of your, I'm going to tell you this morning, one of the major beliefs you have to have in order to prosper. Major. Put major in your notes with big letters. Major. M-A. Capital A. Capital J. Capital O. Capital R. Major beliefs you have to have when it comes to prosperity. There are other beliefs, but this is one of the major ones. Amen. I'm going to tell you what to believe. You know what I'm going to tell you? The gospel. I'm going to tell you what to believe, and this is the gospel. Philippians 4:19. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Which word is first, supply or need? The word supply is before the need. Let's look at some examples. Before God put Adam in the garden or on the earth, let's put it that way, on the earth, he made the garden. And really all the earth eventually for mankind. Isn't that right? Why? He's the God who supplies before you even have the need. He made the garden before he put Adam in it. Before he even created Adam. He had and led Noah to prepare for the flood before the flood came. Just because that's the way he operates. He didn't send the rain and say, Noah, you better find something to float on. He got him ready. He got him ready. I said he got him ready. God provided a ram in the thicket before Abraham knew that he needed a ram in the thicket. You remember the story? God told Abraham, go offer Isaac. Remember that? As a sacrifice unto me. And he wasn't going to have him sacrificing. He just wanted to see if he would obey. He had everything ready and his knife in the air, and God stopped him and said, now I know that you are that you'll obey me. And so he turned around, and there's a ram in the thicket. Now, and he offered the ram. But before that, in Genesis 22, you look up the verses, they were going up there, and Abraham saw the mountain, and he told the servants, y'all stay here. Me and the son, we're going to go up, and we're going to offer it to the Lord, and then we're going. He said, we are going to return again. We are going to return again. He knew God wasn't asking him. Hebrews 11, 17 through 19 says that he said that he believed that God would raise him from the dead if he had to, because God had already said, through Isaac shall thy seed be called. So God had spoken to him something, and then it looked like he said something to take it away from him. Abraham already knew, he's not taking anything from me. That's where people struggle with offerings. God, they read in the Bible, my God supplies all my needs. And then God says, give a bunch away. They're like, that contradicts what God told me. I can't give it away. See, that's where they struggle. That's where they struggle. He's not taking something from you. He's trying to get something to you. I've been there with that struggle, so I'm not hard on people about it. I know what it's like. I struggled with that. And finally, I just got down all the way to the bottom. And God spoke to me, and I said, help me. He said, your way's not working out, is it? That's the first thing. Before he got me out, he made sure that I understood, your way doesn't work. And I finally said, completely, I surrender. Before that, I was critical in my mind. All these preachers want is our money. Well, when you go to McDonald's, that's all they want, and you never say that. They won't leave you out the door without... We'll let you walk out the door. You got to get a hold of yourself. That's just what I had to do. I had to get a hold of myself. I finally said, God, my way's not working. He said, let me teach you. And from then on, he began to teach me how to prosper. And I've been going up ever since. To his glory. Amen. So God provided Abraham a ram in the thicket. And Abraham knew it. He said, God, he said to the servants, Isaac and me, we're going to go up, we're going to offer to God, both of us are going to come back. And then they took off, Isaac and him, and Isaac said, Father, here's the wood and the fire. Where's the sacrifice? And he said, God will provide himself a sacrifice. That's a play on words to say basically he himself will be the sacrifice. That's why the New Testament in John 6, whatever it is, I might have the reference wrong, said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Yes.
He saw God's asking me for my son as a substitute, and he's going to send his son to redeem us and pay the price for our need. Amen. He saw that I'm in covenant with the one who will give his son. That's why he's asking my son. Hallelujah. So God saw that he believed that, and stopped him, and then provided a ram in the thicket. And the Bible said Abraham called God in that place Jehovah Jireh. Oh, Jehovah Jireh. It means the God who sees ahead and supplies. This is so much God's nature that he made it his name. He's so much that way, he said, that's my name. That's my name. Call me the God who sees your need before you have a supply. Who sees ahead and supplies. Who sees the need coming and makes provision. Before the need even shows up, before you even knew you had the need, God made the provision for it. I'm preaching the gospel to you. People say sometimes, you know, God is, you know, always a last-minute God. These verses don't sound like He is. Sounds like He's way ahead of your need. The only reason it appears to them that He's the last-minute God, you know, shows up at the last minute, is because they didn't get serious about their faith until the last minute. It's a faith issue. It's really what it is. Are we getting any help?
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Who sees ahead and here's the thing you need to know about God. God is not in the realm of time. You and I are in the realm of time, and we can't see the future. God's outside of time in eternity, and He can see the future. And because of His foreknowledge and foresight, He has made provision ahead of time. Amen. Amen. Because of His care for His children. If you have a baby coming, the Warners just had another baby, and they made provision, I'm sure. They made another room or whatever they did. Made provision because they had foresight of what was coming. Where'd they get that? God. That's the way He is with you. Yeah, but I messed up. Yeah, He saw that was going to come. And that's why He shed the blood of Jesus. Pastor, you said that if I wasn't led, I can't be assured of the supply. Well, not that route, but God did make a supply if you miss it in being led or miss it and get into your own plan or get into your own plan. He made a supply for you to get back out of that through the blood of Jesus and repentance, and you can come back around and you can get back in your supply. Every need is covered. Every need is covered. Every need is covered. You're covered. You're covered. For the rest of your life, you're covered. You're covered. Now, here's a thought. He's ahead of your need, supplying your need. If you come up to a need and you say, "Where's God?" According to this, you know where He is. I don't see God anywhere. Of course not. He's already been there. He's ahead up there. We got to get a hold of this. We got to get a hold of this. People want to become rich overnight. Why wait that long? You're already rich. You already have a supply. Oh, I'm getting happy. I'm getting happy. Why wait overnight? You are already rich in the new birth. Believe you're rich. Believe you're rich. Believe you have a supply. Don't accuse God of holding out on you. The Bible in Hebrews 4, 2 through 3 in the Amplified, write that down. Hebrews 4, 2 through 3 in the Amplified says that these things are already prepared and are waiting on our faith. What I've been preaching to you so far is God's side, the grace side. We've got to understand faith is our side. In order to enter into this, we've got to exercise our faith. And that's the part I'm not going to be able to get to today. I can see I'm already quickly running out of time. Can you see what we're preaching to you?
Yes,
don't accuse God of holding out on you. Romans 4 said God made Abraham something. Yeah. Amen. He made him the father of many nations, and Abraham had to mix faith with that in order to become the father of many nations. Yeah. Amen. God makes you something and says, here's how you walk into that.
Yes,
it's grace that makes you rich and has supplied all your need. It's faith that causes you to walk into that.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Stop chasing money. Deuteronomy says, if you'll follow Him, all these blessings will come on you and overtake you. Start using your faith, and these things will start showing up. Another example of God supplying ahead of time, John 12:3 in the Amplified. John 12:3 in the Amplified talks about the woman that had the alabaster perfume and put it on Jesus. Do you have that in the Amplified there? Listen to this, John 12:3. It says that Mary took a pound of ointment of pure liquid nard, a rare perfume that was very expensive. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair, and the whole house was filled with the fragments of the perfume. Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii, a year's wages for an ordinary workman, and the money given to the poor, the destitute?" Now, he did not say it because he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and because he, having the bag, the money box, the purse of the 12, he took for himself what was put into it, pilfering the collections. But Jesus said, "Let her alone." Listen to this, verse 7. "It was intended that she should keep it for the time of my preparation for burial. She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming." She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming. Get that? You get that? She has kept it that she might have it for the time of my embalming. God led her to hold on to that. That was very valuable. Said there in the Amplified, a year's wages for a workman. She was led to hold on to it. Amen. Why was she led to hold on to it? Because the Lord prompted her to hold on to it. Because he saw a need Jesus was going to have and was making provision for that need. There's a little verse in John 17 you need to remember. Jesus said, "Show them that you love them as much as you love me." If he did that for Jesus, he'll do that for you. He'll prepare ahead of time everything you need. That's what we've got to believe. He's already prepared. He's already met the need. Hallelujah. 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 Call yourself what God has made you. You're not broke. You have a supply. You're fully funded. Call yourself fully funded. Amen. It's not the money. It's the power. It's the authority of the believer. It's the ministry of angels. It's the leading of the Spirit. You use all those things and it will be, finances will be much easier for you. Amen. The world highly values education regarding prosperity. And that's a good thing. I mean, we should value it to the degree that is right to. But you see, that's the reason they value that so much, because that's all they got. That's all a man without a covenant, without a father, without a good caring father has, and without a renewed mind has. He thinks, "I've got to do this in order to get money." But whenever we have the blessing of the Lord that makes rich. We have the ministry of angels, the authority of the believer, all these things that we've mentioned. The power to get wealth. Our job is to use our faith that causes these things to come. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's think about a couple more times whenever there was a supply for what Jesus needed. Jesus needed a donkey for the triumphal entry into the into Jerusalem, and the Spirit of God showed him exactly where it was. They needed an upper room for the Passover, and Jesus said, "Go up there. There's a man that'll have a room, and he'll let us use it." He needed a tomb for the burial, and that was already provided. Tax money, whenever the tax collectors came, Peter said, "What are we going to do?" He said, "Go fishing," and it's in the fish's mouth.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
He needed to be protected for 2 years outside of Herod's reign, where he could get to him as a baby, and gold, frankincense, and myrrh showed up. He had a supply. Does God love Jesus any more than he loves you? Now, there's a question people have a hard time answering. The Bible said, Jesus said, "No, show them that you love them as much as you love me."
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God prepared a great fish for Jonah before he was even thrown overboard. Why was that fish right there?
Come on.
Oh, I don't believe that actually happened. Jesus in the New Testament said it did.
Yeah.
Amen. Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Slain for our salvation from the foundation of the world. Before we knew we needed a lamb, we needed the substitute, God prepared it. Psalm 66:12, you can just write this down. He provided Israel. The Bible said Canaan's land was God's wealthy place for them that he had prepared for them. Canaan's land. We also have a wealthy place. It's not Canaan's land like the land of Israel, but it is the land of the covenant. Our covenant is our wealthy place. It's full of wealth. It's full of healing. It's full of deliverance from torment in our minds. It's full of everything we need. Praise the Lord. Jesus, it says in Luke 8:13, had people following him, ministering unto him of their substance. He had a funding following him around. I claimed that years ago, and that's always working for me. Now, what about you now? What about you now? All that's yours, but what about you now? Psalm 23:5. He prepares a table before you in the presence of your enemies. That's not when you go to heaven. There'll be no enemies in heaven. That table is right down here in this life. Amen. Down here in this earth. Yes. Not when you go to heaven. Nope. Praise God. Why don't you belly up to the table? Yep. That's what we used to say when we were kids. Belly up. Belly up. Yes, praise the Lord. The presence of your enemies. Your enemies are back there saying, you're not going to have this need met. You don't have the money. Yak, yak, yak. Why don't you just belly up to the table and say, pass the supply, please. Get your attention on the supply. That's why people don't walk into these things. Their attention's on what the devil is saying. How about this? This is New Testament, Ephesians 2:10 in the Amplified. Taking paths which he has prepared ahead of time, living the good life, which what? He prearranged and made ready for you to live. Prearranged. Prearranged. Prearranged and made ready. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, "Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard, neither entered into the heart of man. The things which God has prepared," and the Amplified says, "keeps ready for them that love him." There is a supply, and it's being kept ready. Waiting on what? We already read it or referred Hebrews 4:2-3. It's waiting on our faith. Hallelujah. In trouble, he's prepared a way of escape. We talked about that earlier. 1 Corinthians 10:13. Isaiah 65:24, before you call, I will answer. Okay, you didn't get that. Before you call, before you even have a question, before you even call upon me for the answer, before, I'll answer. That has happened to me so many times. I've been sitting in church and got a hold of a truth, or reading my Bible and gotten a hold of truth, or praying and got a hold of a truth, and I didn't really think I had need of it then, but a month later, oh, this is what I needed. Before you knew you needed it, here I am. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Psalm 31:19, write that down in big letters. You ought to just look it up. We don't have time today. But the Bible talks about the great goodness, Psalm 31:19, that he has laid up for them that fear him. Laid up means it's on deposit. I said it's on deposit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, we're out of time this morning, but we're not done with this. Do you see a major thing you must believe in order to prosper? Can you see what it is? What is it? The gospel. You got it. You got it. Oh, I can go home. They got it. The gospel. What is the gospel? The good news to the poor. I've prepared everything you need. But if it's not the money, I need something tangible. This is the answer to get it to tangibly come. To get it, to cause it to tangibly to come. Hallelujah. Stop struggling, just start believing this. The Bible says we call things that be not as though they are. Faith calls things that be not as though they are. Start calling yourself fully funded, fully supplied. Rich. Hallelujah. Start saying he's already prepared for this need before I even knew it was going to come up. And then learn to follow the Spirit, because he'll guide you right into the need. I've had him Pastor Nancy taught me to lead me right into creating needs many times. He knew I was ready in faith for that leading. And so he's, God just knows that sometimes we don't release our faith unless we have a need to. So sometimes he'll lead us into situations that create a need. Why? Because he wants us to tap further into that supply that's there and we're not. And he's saying, I have so much more I want to do for you.
Yes, sir.
Let me lead you out into stretching some more. There's the part people don't like. Their flesh gets uncomfortable. But listen, you can either be uncomfortable or you can stay broke. With a supply laid up for you, by the way. I never said that before. You can either stay comfortable. You can either stay comfortable. I think I said it wrong. You can either stay comfortable or you can either stay. Oh, I did say it right. You can either stay uncomfortable, reaching in your faith, uncomfortable in the flesh, or you can stay broke. Which one do you want? I think I'll take the supply. But my flesh and my mind, that's what we need to get into, our mind fighting us about these things. How, where, when? That's not your department. Not your department. Hallelujah. This is working for me. It's working for me. It's working for me. It's working for me. Amen. Tell your neighbor it's working for me.